You're listening to a Film-Faced minicast. Hey everyone, it's Ryan, Kevin and Anthony here. We just finished watching the masterpiece, the masterpiece that is The Zombie Diaries. And pardon my laughing, but it wasn't a comedy. It was meant to be a real serious zombie film. And according to the box, BeyondHollywood.com, it's better than Danny Boyle's 28 Days Later. And according to The Dark Side, it's the best zombie film ever. I really am finding it hard to believe those two quotes after seeing the film. And anyone want to come in here and start talking about The Zombie Diaries?
Not really.
Well, if I could just bring up another thing on the box, it's a bloody powerhouse of a movie.
Yes. Almost no blood in the movie, really.
Yeah, it wasn't really that gory.
Blood. Well, let me just... All right. I guess, can I start?
Yeah, since Anthony starts every podcast we do. Go ahead, Ant.
With tradition.
Go ahead, Ant.
Well, I will say about this movie...
That's what you'd say.
No.
That's a good start.
Listen.
They get an A for effort.
No. All right. I will say about this movie...
I feel a joke coming on.
It is... No, well, because I know what you guys are going to say, but just hear me out. I honestly think this movie is the most realistic depiction. It is the most, and I seriously, it's the most realistic depiction I've seen of what would actually happen if you let people make a zombie movie.
That is true.
Yay!
That is true. And I feel really bad because we were actually just, after we finished the film, we were watching the behind-the-scenes documentary.
And you're like, oh, these are actual real people who made this movie. And you feel like a dick, you know.
Right, and I feel kind of bad because I really do feel like these people took themselves really seriously. But there was something wrong with them. I mean, especially the fact that they had... There was an interview with, I guess, the two creators of the film. And
No, I think that was an actor.
Or two actors. I don't know. They were very prominent in the making of. Part.
That's bad that we don't even remember the actress, and we just watched it 2 seconds.
It was very forgettable. But they had during the interview, they had a fake dog sitting between them, and I think that just that shows you how serious filmmakers these people are.
Let me just say something right now. Right now, we're just sort of giggling through a podcast about a movie that nobody has seen.
Yeah, but you know what? Listen, this is my fault here. I wanted to make this podcast because I want to tell everyone you really should see The Zombie Diaries.
I thought you didn't want to see it.
I don't think you should because, I mean, we're laughing about it now, but I honestly think that this doesn't fall into the category of so bad that it's...
It's kind of like...
That it's funny because I think it's just... Almost that, but it's just too boring. It's too boring.
Well, give me
especially the first half.
Give me a movie that's so bad that it's worth watching. Does anything come off the top of your head? I know this is putting you on the spot.
So
bad it was worth watching.
So bad it's worth watching.
It's funny. So bad it's great.
Yeah. Well, yeah, now you are putting me on. I'm sure there's tons, and now I can't think of any because you just put me on the spot to think of them.
I don't know, the fact that I'm laughing so much, I feel like it's...
No, you're laughing about how bad it was, not at how bad it was after the fact, not how bad it was during the watching.
And I still think that's a worthwhile
thing. We were watching the movie, it was pretty silent throughout the whole thing, maybe a giggle here and there, but it was kind of boring, no?
I actually think the most of the entertaining part was watching them do the interview with the fake dog.
Yeah.
That was pretty entertaining.
It was kind of a waste of an hour and 30 minutes or 20 minutes.
It really was. So I actually don't go see this
movie.
Well,
you probably wouldn't have gone see
this. This is really a PSA announcement to help people not see The Zombie Diaries. Please do not see this film. It was really such a waste of time. I remember seeing the trailer, and I thought it looked decent.
Where did you see this trailer? Because this seems like...
It was online somewhere. I don't know if it was on, like, Apple trailers, or
I mean, this must have been direct to DVD.
Well, I said theatrical trailer.
See,
so well, does that mean theater? Yeah, it means it was in theaters. On the special features, it was listed as
theatrical trailer. I think it still could have been direct.
It could have been, but and it was really a bad movie. And you know what? In the beginning of the movie, Kevin brought up the fact, he's like, we paused the movie. Anthony came in a little late, so we were 8 minutes in, and we figured, you know what, let's drag him into this with us. So we rebound the film, and while we were waiting for him,
thank you for that, buddy.
Yeah. You're welcome. While we were waiting for him to come downstairs and watch it with us, Kevin brought up the fact, like, oh, you know, do you think the acting's really bad?
Well, I thought the acting was pretty bad, just from two scenes. There were two scenes in the movie so far.
Yeah.
And the first scene, it was like, the acting's not that bad. It was quick, a little one-minute scene, but I'll get past that. And the next scene, it was an older man who was stuttering and pausing through his words, and it seemed like he was trying to remember the script.
Oh, like that on-the-street interview?
No, it was in the office.
No, see,
in
the office. Yeah, the guy in the newspaper or whatever.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
But see, yeah. I thought the best acting was those quick little interviews on the street.
Yeah.
That was the best acting, because that seemed real.
Seemed realistic.
Right. Yeah. But I was thinking, though, I mean, that was really early on in the film when you said that, and I was just thinking to myself, you know what, I don't want to see actors acting. I'm kind of hoping, because it's like a documentary-style film, I wanted it to feel kind of real and kind of rough and raw. And I felt that that's what we got with those on the street kind of man-on-the-street little clips. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, once you brought that up, the movie went downhill.
It got more rough and more raw.
Yeah, I mean, it felt like people were trying to act like they weren't acting. Yeah. You know, they were overacting,
acting without acting.
Yeah.
Acting with acting, yes. Well, I think that this movie also, whenever... Well, let me first say that this is kind of like, how many zombie movies have we seen? And this doesn't really bring anything new to the table as far as zombies are concerned.
No.
So you have a run-of-the-mill zombie movie paired with this sort of... I feel like it's overly done now, the whole, hey, we're just doing this sort of handheld mini camera documentary thing with our friends, just sort of recording everything as it's happening. This is real. And so you're combining those two sort of overdone things for just one really boring movie. And also, those sort of documentary style movies, they all sort of fall into the trap of, you know, they beg the question, why is this being filmed? Or why are these people acting like this, you know, or why while this is being shot.
Right.
And this movie had so many of those moments. Well, like, your friend is getting eaten alive, and yet you're adjusting the focus on the camera to make sure that, you know, you get a shot. It's just so ridiculous. And, I mean, some movies do it okay, but this was just...
I mean, the first real film, you know, the first real horror film that did this well, I think, was Blair Witch.
Yeah.
I mean, and that was so kind of original. And I feel like after that movie, I was kind of done with the whole documentary-style horror film.
One and done for you.
But I mean, and then we had Cloverfield, which...
Well, I don't know if that's a chronological order. Well, no. We had Blair Witch, and then we had Cloverfield. Yeah.
Well, to me, in my mind, those are the only two movies worth mentioning, because they were the only ones that did it well enough that I would revisit the movie again.
You two saw Quarantine, right? That was like that, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I wouldn't revisit the film again. It's just... I'm kind of done with that, you know? Let's not make those movies anymore. I think we tried it. It's not really working.
Ryan says don't.
You know,
one thing that this movie
has,
though...
Don't let The Zombie Diaries be the movie to ruin it for you.
But it's just going to the fact that you know, I feel like anyone who makes a movie like this falls into the trap of, we need to explain everything to the audience. And you know what? If you're going to have it where it's a documentary-styled film... Just go for it. I don't need the girl to turn around in the car and be like, well, why are you filming us? Oh, well, we're making a documentary here. You don't need to explain that. If it's going to be that style of film, explanation already given to me. You know? I'm going into the movie, and I'm already suspending my disbelief about why they would be filming it in the first place. You know? So I don't need you to explain to me.
I needed an explanation for why that guy was filming his friend being eaten alive.
That's why they didn't give you one.
Well, that's why he set up the camera... While he sort of executed his own friend that had just, you know, been eaten by a zombie. Just too much.
It was too much expository dialogue where they explain everything that happened. And also, I don't know if you guys noticed. I think you did. I think someone mentioned it. but they would be filming something, and the person ahead of the cameraman wouldn't look at the stuff that was going on in front of them, but they would turn and look at the guy with the camera. It's like, why aren't you looking to see if there's a zombie in the next room? Why are you looking at the cameraman?
It would happen without, they had a gun facing forward, going through a dark room,
I think
looking
they're
backwards.
They're conscious of the fact that they're on camera.
Yes, they're
worried
about
that. They don't want to just sort of not give the camera anything.
Don't want the face to be seen.
They want to work with it, you know.
Oh, God. It was really poorly executed, this movie.
Poorly executed.
But I do think that at the very end of this film, they had a kind of a cool premise where, I mean, you were kind of making fun of it.
No, I was, but I mean,
it's kind of cool.
Interesting.
In a world where there's a zombie outbreak, what if the zombies, I mean, clearly the zombies here, I don't know why they were so menacing.
Let me just say, these were the least threatening zombies I have ever seen. Every time someone got killed in this movie from a zombie, it's like, how did that even happen? Did it sneak up on you? Because there's no way.
They are slower than slow. I mean, they were really slow.
When that guy, I mean, it's useless to talk about scenes again because no one's going to see this film.
But they were really non-threatening. And it's just, it was a cool premise where you have these non-threatening zombies. So the things you have to fear in this kind of world is other humans and
that's the twist. That had a twist. The movie had a twist.
I wouldn't say it. Listen, I wouldn't give this film.
No.
They
showed you the zombies killing everybody. I don't know how they did it. And then at the very end, they went a month back and a month forward, and you found out that two of the people, or at least one of them, at the very beginning, were actually killing real humans. And that was a twist.
This film is not worthy of a twist.
What do we call it then?
They just so happened to fall into a little.
Well, when they brought that up,
twist.
I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. But the whole movie's already ruined because it's so awful. It doesn't redeem anything about the movie.
I just thought that they at the very end they touched on a pretty cool concept of, you know, what if there were crazy people running around the world just killing people?
While zombies
were happening.
Yeah, no, that's an interesting enough premise that if it was done much better.
Yeah.
And that was just sort of like thrown in there in the last 15 minutes of the movie. Like an hour and 20 minute, hour and a half movie. That only made up like the last 15
minutes. And there's also the last scene in the movie. With the guy spitting on the camera.
Yeah, and then the military in the beginning and the end to sort of bookend it had nothing to do with anything. I mean,
no.
I don't think that.
I don't even know who that girl was. Who was the girl at the end of the movie?
The characters were so forgettable. I don't, like, from scene to scene, I didn't know who was who.
Well, like we said, at the end, we watched the making of, and we already forgot
who
those
the
characters
were.
They were
actors.
Who did you play again?
This movie made, as I was watching it, I was just like, it just made me want to watch a better zombie movie.
And I think these people should be charged with something for saying that it's better than Danny Boyle's 28 Days
Later.
Well,
maybe. I guess that just goes, there are people out there who think this is the best zombie movie ever.
Those quotes have got to be taken out of context. There's no way.
The Dark Side, I don't even know, is that .com or is it, I don't know what it, The Dark Side says the best zombie movie ever, best zombie film ever.
That's impossible.
Maybe they did take the quote out of context.
They were trying to make the best zombie movie ever.
Yeah.
I mean, that has to be taken out of context. There's no way a sane person, or maybe they're not sane, but there's no way someone's going to say that this is the best movie ever. Zombie movie ever. And look at the front cover, too. I mean, everyone, if you want to Google the cover
you don't
of this. It's kind of a cool-looking cover. Has nothing to do with the movie.
The character isn't in the movie.
You never see that symbol.
The cities don't burn down.
The little symbol on his back. And where is that from?
There are never more than three zombies in
the makeup in this movie was pretty good.
That was, yeah.
It was sort of, you know, and actually the makeup people in the making of even said this, how, you know, oh yeah, we spent a lot of time on the makeup. But the way that this movie was filmed with the sort of handheld cameras, you didn't really get to see a lot of it. And it's true because, I mean, the camera shakiness
was
just sort of
all over.
Shaky just for the sake of being
shaky. Well, no, they
shaky.
Also said that the actors are the ones filming it.
Yeah, real problem. You have actors who can hardly act filming a movie. What are they trying to do? Was this just an attempt at making the lowest?
Well, also, the director never directed a film either, they said.
Well, you know what? Maybe he shouldn't direct again. It was really, it was not good.
Yeah.
And you know what? I really, I don't want to, you know,
Ryan,
bash
the
anyone.
People at eatmybrains.com really liked it. So,
I mean, I feel bad for bashing, but this movie deserves to be bashed. This is really bad.
I'm funny.
Please, anyone, listen, I know, I mean, there's probably more people watch this movie than listen to us, but anyone who does tune in and listen to this little mini cast we have going on now, do not watch this movie. All right, please. It's just such a waste of time.
It made me want to watch Zombieland because it's a better zombie movie. It's a different take on a zombie movie, and it has Jesse Eisenberg. I just saw The Social Network, and I just want to watch
it. Yeah, let's get a little plug for The Social Network. If you're going to listen to this, take one good thing away from this. Go see The Social Network if you haven't yet. It's a pretty good movie.
It's very
good. I don't know.
It's an excellent movie.
Do you want to get into a little convo about
this
that?
This is supposed to be a mini episode. How long are we going?
We've gone 15.
We're on 15 right now.
20 seconds more than we should have done.
We should.
Which is the total time running so far.
We shouldn't go more than 20 minutes if you just want to talk about The Social Network a little bit.
All right, real quick.
Kevin has not seen The Social Network.
He hasn't seen it, but spoilers. No
Kevin,
spoilers.
Explain why you haven't seen The Social Network.
All right, well, I'll first say that the main character, I have to guess it's the main character, the kid with the curly hair or whatever he is.
Jesse Eisenberg.
Jesse Eisenberg.
Yeah.
He just looks like a little bitch. And I don't want him.
That's the character sort of playing.
He's supposed to, well, I don't know if he's supposed to be the hero or whatever, the maker of Facebook.
Yeah.
And he just looks like a little bitch.
I don't really know much about him.
No, I don't know anything about it. And it just looks like it's a stupid movie based on nothing really but the coming attraction.
Right. Just sort of sounded dumber. I wish I never even asked you that question.
No, because it's about something that just happened. It's like Facebook just got made, and they're gonna make a movie about how it was made when it just made.
Kevin,
years ago,
it was a good movie. I mean, it was good, maybe great. I mean, a lot of people are saying this is the best movie of the year. I don't know if I agree with that,
I agree.
It's gonna be another Hangover where hype is immense, then you go see it, and it's like. Well, you can either like it or it's okay.
Dude, I'm telling you right now.
You could like it or it's okay.
But no, the hype is...
I'm telling you right now. Dude, let me tell you. Comedy is kind of hit or miss depending on your taste. A great movie is a great movie. This was a great movie. I mean, I don't know if it was the greatest of the year. I still like Scott Pilgrim more. Me and Eddie talked about that at length. But it was a great movie. I mean, really, there's no denying that. I don't know how you could deny... Just like you can't deny that The Zombie Diaries was shit. You can't deny that... The Social Network is a great film.
I can't say anything to that.
No, you can't. Yeah, but you got it.
I'm just saying, like...
You should.
It probably is very good. It just, for me...
Do you plan on ever seeing
it? It doesn't look like a movie I'd want to see, even though maybe it's a great movie.
Do you plan on seeing it at some point?
Well, I still haven't seen movies I want to see, so no.
we'll revisit this at some later point and see what you thought after you see it. I think you're going to think that it was a...
Yeah, I think...
I think you are going to think that... It's a great movie.
Mm. I think, because Ryan and I talked about this, and what is it, your third favorite movie of the year so far? Come out since, because when I'm thinking about movies of the year so far, I'm thinking about summer movies till now, not necessarily back to January till now. What's happened? Did anything come out good?
Didn't we have Shutter Island way back when and all that stuff?
Was that around January?
In the spring?
Yeah, no, I guess it was.
I mean, there's been a lot of movies, but...
Nothing that great, really.
I mean, my top five, I mean, that I've seen. I haven't seen, I hear a lot of people are talking about Animal Kingdom. That's a real good movie. I haven't seen that yet. I haven't seen Catfish yet. I mean, there's a few movies I want to see.
Well, Catfish just came out.
But my five favorites so far that I've seen is The Town, Inception, The Social Network, Toy Story 3, and Scott Pilgrim. And I think I would rank them that way, from 5 to 1. And I just think that The Social Network was a great film. I just personally connected more with Scott Pilgrim and Toy Story 3 on a deeper, more emotional level than I did with The Social Network. Not to say that The Social Network wasn't better quality as far as writing and character development.
Yeah, I mean...
But I just...
I don't even know if that's... I guess it's arguable, but
I got more satisfaction out of the other two.
And I think that The Social Network was the best movie of the year so far. I really liked Scott Pilgrim and Toy Story 3 and Inception and all that, but this was my favorite movie.
And you didn't see The Town yet, which you should see The Town, too.
I didn't see The Town yet.
Because, you know what? I need to apologize to Ben Affleck for my little... Snide remark.
Yeah, that was snide and not cool.
Yeah, I mean, he does have talent. He was great in this movie as far as acting, and he's a pretty good director too. With these two films, Gone Baby Gone and the town.
I know you didn't like Gone Baby Gone as much as I did.
You know what? I liked Gone Baby Gone a day after. I actually really liked it. You know, thinking about it.
Wait, you saw Gone Baby
Gone. And thinking about the idea.
Well, we saw it together.
Yeah, we saw it
together. And then we differed on what we would have done at the end.
Right.
And then me and Ryan,
which is what,
saw it.
Don't spoil
the okay, yes.
Gone Baby Gone.
And me and Ryan, though, differed on the ending for I don't know what reason. I would have done something and Ryan couldn't decide. And then we argued.
Right, we just argued for a while. But that's what I think. That was the great thing about Gone Baby Gone is the discussion about the morality of his decision at the end of the movie.
Yeah,
I think that was better than the movie itself, and that's what made looking back at the movie so good.
That movie was. I mean, Casey Affleck was really good.
He was really good.
Really, really good.
You know, but I don't know. Some points of the movie, I didn't really feel the story so much.
No,
I really liked the discussion at the end, and I thought the town, while it didn't have that moral dilemma, I thought the town was a better movie as far as the storytelling throughout the whole picture. You know, I mean, and
I can't say it.
You can't. You got to see the town, but I think if you see the town, I think you'll get what I'm trying to say. But I think you'll disagree, but I think you'll understand what I'm trying to say. Is that, I mean, the whole idea around Gone Baby Gone is awesome, and the discussions you could have around it is great. But I thought the town was a better movie. While it didn't spark that, you know, debate.
It kind of rubs me the wrong way when I hear people say, I didn't like Gone Baby Gone because I hated the ending. The ending is the best part of the... I agree. I mean, I like the movie as a whole, but I still agree that the ending is sort of the best part of that movie because it is sort of unique in how you're able to put yourself in your shoes, in Casey Affleck's shoes, rather, and say, well, what would I have done? And people sort of... A lot of people tend to disagree with what he did at the end of the movie, and then that makes people say, well, I hated the end of the movie because I don't agree with what he did. But that's not the point. Like, I mean, I agree with what he did at the end of the movie, even though it's, like, really tough, but I feel like a lot of people come away from that movie with, like, a sour taste in their mouth because they didn't agree with his decision, and so they just sort of poo-poo the whole movie.
Do you feel like they went with that decision instead of the other decision because they knew it would stir up controversy and make for a better, better movie?
I mean, it was based off of a book. Read the book. Okay. I'm assuming that the same...
The same author of Mystic River, too.
Yeah.
Two pretty solid adaptations, too. But, I think down the road, I want to talk about movie endings at one point or another. Like, yeah. we all need to go and look at movie endings and pick our favorite movie
because
endings.
The Social Network... has
right.
one of my favorite endings
of all time.
To a movie. It's so
what is it? Facebook's made?
No. Let's not say anything.
Not gonna say a word.
Don't say anything.
Because talking about it would just
kill it.
Undercut. You just need to see.
Right.
Like, it's
we'll say no more other than it was a great
even
ending.
Even the fact that I'm saying that it's such a great ending, I don't like that I'm even saying it because now people who haven't seen it are gonna go into it like what's
anticipating
this ending?
The ending. Right. Yeah.
Don't anticipate.
Is the movie scene. Completely factual?
No. Well, no.
No, I don't think it's not
completely
factual. I don't think it's a true depiction of Mark Zuckerberg.
But it is.
It's
like this. It's based off of the book The Accidental Millionaires.
Billionaires.
Billionaires. Sorry,
yes.
I slighted them.
Yes.
That's why I didn't, don't care.
They're billionaires.
The Accidental Billionaires is a book that was written, and it's pretty much the guy Eduardo Saverin. It's basically his account of what happened.
Right.
And
well, let's not go too far into this.
Right,
I don't want to spoil anything.
But I'm just going to say the author of the book sort of made his accounts into a dramatization of the facts rather than like a documentary of the facts, a document of the facts. So it's sort of a dramatized version of what actually happened. Like he recreated in the book scenes of dialogue where, like, you know...
He obviously wasn't there for it.
And so certain things are embellished or fabricated a little bit, but it is basically the true story as this author.
Regardless, though, it doesn't matter true or not. It's still a great movie.
Yes,
you know, it doesn't
when
matter.
When you make a movie about something that just happened and then it's not completely factual,
well,
then it's kind of like...
It's factual enough where, like, Mark Zuckerberg didn't want to have much to do with the movie or the book, for that matter, because he didn't want to sort of give it that credibility that, hey, Mark Zuckerberg was involved with this,
mm-hmm.
so it's all factual. But I think he has seen the movie at this point.
No, he has. I read an
and
article.
He hasn't come out and said anything like, this isn't true, that's not true. Enough of this movie is factual. Maybe the depiction, Jesse Eisenberg's depiction of him, is a bit more negative than I'm sure he would like, and maybe that's even true. But I think the bottom line is, this movie is generally the way it went down.
Zuckerberg actually brought some Facebook employees to go to go see the film.
I mean, yeah, I think that this is like, basically how I'm it went confused down with a few embellishments
the
here.
The preview made me feel like he was not only the main character, but he also the hero of the film. Like,
he's going to make it,
and these older college guys are trying to get credit for what he did.
Kev, listen.
This is why you need to see the
movie. Let's not.
You have no concept of what this movie is about.
Let's not talk about it anymore. Let's not talk about it anymore. It was a great trailer.
I love
the awesome trailer.
The teaser trailer. I had, because when I first heard about the movie, I felt the same way you did. I thought a movie about Facebook. We have like a battleship movie coming out. And the movie up. Come on, seriously. Then the teaser trailer didn't do anything for me. And then the actual trailer with Creep and everything and just great.
I mean, you're Anthony's a big time Radiohead fan. The lyrics to Creep are so perfect for this movie.
Well, the lyrics to Creep are sort of like applicable to probably many movies.
Just after seeing the movie and then and listening to the song again, they're just so appropriate for Mark Zuckerberg. At least the representation of Mark Zuckerberg in the movie.
Yeah.
They're just so perfect. What a great song. Although it wasn't in the film at all, was it?
No, the whole movie was scored by Trent Reznor,
which
was
awesome score.
Really?
You know, I think we'll talk about The Social Network at some other time. But just to go back real quick on what I was saying before about endings, Gone Baby Gone, great ending. Social Network, great ending.
Yeah.
What do you think I'm going to say?
No, what?
Oh, no, I mean, are there other endings that I love?
Well, we should just talk about that later.
All right, but let me just bring up real quick.
Yeah.
The Graduate.
Well, that's probably my favorite.
And The Breakfast Club.
Haven't seen The Breakfast Club.
Oh, my God.
No.
Kevin.
Have you not seen
Kevin,
it?
How good?
I know the ending of The Breakfast Club.
I saw it before
how good is that
a
ending?
Long time ago, and then I saw it again recently.
I have it on my Netflix.
How iconic is that ending?
Well, I mean, I think everybody knows the ending,
The ending of The Social Network, I just love, and the more I think about it, the more I love it. And I don't even want to compare it to The Graduate ending, because I just can't get my mind to go there right now, because The Graduate ending I have cemented in my mind is like the best ending.
That's such a great ending.
I think to bring this whole conversation full circle, the ending of the Zombie Diaries was just nonsensical. Just horrible.
It was stupid.
I thought we could have cut out the Zombie Diary part of this and made a pretty good podcast.
Yeah, it would have been a better discussion. But you know what? It is what it is.
You kind of got to get through the first part to get to the, you know, meat
to get to the good stuff. Yeah.
I think people are going to see that this thing is about Zombie Diaries and not even listen to it.
Well, I think I'll tell people what it's about in the little blurb.
Great.
But thanks to listening. Thanks for listening to our little rambling. Sorry, I mean, just really don't see the Zombie Diaries. Sorry about putting you through that. Sorry for putting you through that. Yes, and see The Social Network, if that's what you take out of this.
And apparently see The Breakfast Club, too.
Yeah. Any movie we mentioned during this podcast,
not named the Zombie Diaries,
go
watchable,
see.
Watchable.
But do not see The Zombie Diaries. That's the one thing I want to leave you with. But thanks a lot for tuning in to this little mini cast, and we'll talk to you guys soon. All right, thanks a lot.